past couple of days, we've been talking about the concept of Tehillah Mitzvah by Ner Chanukah. We mentioned that there's a machlokas that Rama and the Rambam had a light the Ner Chanukah. Both of them agree that the best way to do the mitzvah is to light Keneged the Anshei Abayis and Keneged Yomim. But the question is, who does that hadlaka? According to the Rambam, it's the Baal Abayis. And Rama seems to say that each member of the household should light their own menorah. The question is why? So the Brisker Rav explained that the Rama really agrees with the Rambam fundamentally, that Mahadrim and a Mahadrim is a double hiddah. But he just holds that hiddah mitzvah doesn't have to be an extension of the Guf HaMitzvah, it can be a separate kiyum, and therefore he feels that when it comes to Ner Chanukah, it's better not to be yotzei with the Baal HaBayis, but rather to do your own hadlaka. So we pointed out, first of all, the first assumption of the Brisker Rav is questionable, because the Darkei Moshe seems to explain that his sheet is based on Tosfos, not based on the Rambam. That even Tosfos, who says Mahadrim and Mahadrim is only Keneged the Yom, not Keneged the Anshei HaBayis, they felt that that's true during the time of the Ikar Takana with the Hekers who were the Nerush HaSarabim. So then you need it to be a Heker, and if everyone's going to light together, then it's going to be confusing. We're not going to know which night of Chanukah it is. But Bizman Hazeh, B'shas HaSakana, that we light inside, so the Hekers for the Bnei HaBayis, so then even Tosfos would agree with the Rambam. The best thing is to be Mahadah Keneged both the Anshei HaBayis and the Yamin. So it could very well be that the Ramah is not going like the Rambam Shita. He's going like the Balei Tosfos. But what's with the second issue of the Brisker Rav? If the Brisker Rav felt, according to the Ramah, Hiddur Mitzvah really is an independent key. So there, the Beis HaLevi seems to disagree. The Beis HaLevi says that Hiddur Mitzvah, La Mitzvah Lo Shamanu, there's no such thing as Hiddur Mitzvah without the Mitzvah. It always has to be linked to the mitzvah. It's always viewed as an extension of the mitzvah. So if that's the case, how do we understand the second aspect of the Rambam? That the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam and says the Baal HaBayis is not the one to light all these menorahs, but rather each individual lights his own menorah. How can that be? So we said, according to the Beis HaLevi, what you have to say is that the Rambam claims that both Ner Chanukah and Mila, which is the example that the Brisker Rav picks up on, both of them are mitzvos that are nimshachos, that have a hemshah, that have a continuity. And therefore, even if lechatilu you should make the bracha before the tchilas asiyah, the d'eved you can make it even afterwards. There must be some kind of a hemshech. That's why we can treat it as if the hiddah mitzvah is really connected to the guf mitzvah, because the guf mitzvah is still ongoing. The guf mitzvah is still being fulfilled even after the initial act. So how can that be? So when it comes to Ner Chanukah, we can explain like the Rosh. Rosh says that since there's a shihui for this zman mitzvah, that the Ner Chanukah really is supposed to remain burning until the Bnei Rosh HaSarabim are finished walking around outside. So even if the Maisa Hadlok is the Ikka Mitzvah, that's the Tchilas HaMitzvah, but it's not the Gemara Mitzvah, there's still a Hemshech to the Mitzvah. So therefore the Rama says that each and every individual can light their own menorah, as long as the Ikka Mitzvah, as long as the Baal HaBayis is Ner, is still burning, so then the Hidda Mitzvah, the other Bnei HaBayis, is going to be linked to that Guf HaMitzvah, it's going to be an extension of that Guf HaMitzvah. That's what he holds about Chanukah. What does the old Lagabi mean? So that the Beis HaLevi himself answers. The Beis HaLevi says that who is to claim that the mitzvah of Mila is fulfilled to the Maisa Chaticha? The Maisa, the initial Maisa, that's the whole mitzvah of Mila, and then it's over? No, maybe there's a hemshah to the mitzvah. Maybe the mitzvah continues as long as a person is a Nemo, as long as he's Gemalt, right? There's a Totsa'a from the Maisa Mila, there's a Matzav, there's a situation and a status that's created through the Maisa Mila, and maybe it's that status, that ongoing status, that really is a key mitzvah. Maybe a person fulfills the mitzvah each and every moment of his life, that he's gemalt, that he has a bris mila, bivsara. Maybe there's a key mitzvah. If we are to say like that, then we can understand that the Rama can hold that even mol b'chol, someone who does a bris mila during the weekday, he can be chozer for tzitz and she'im ma'akven esamila even after silek yoda. Even after he took his hand away from the mila, he cut the orla, he finished the guf ha-mitzvah, he finished the ma'isa chaticha, I should say, but he can still go back for the tzitz and she'im ma'akven esamila for the hidda mitzvah. But how? If everyone agrees that hidda mitzvah b'lo mitzvah lo shamanu, that there's no such thing as hidda mitzvah without the mitzvah, because hidda mitzvah always has to be an extension of the guf ha-mitzvah. Once the guf ha-mitzvah is over, if he was pirish, so then there is no guf ha-mitzvah to talk about. So how can he have a hidda mitzvah without a guf ha-mitzvah? The answer is that if he continues fulfilling the mitzvah every moment of his life because he's a nemo, because he's gemalt, so then that guf ha-mitzvah is still alive. If it's still there, if it's there's still a fulfillment of the ikka mitzvah, so then he can piggyback on that ikka mitzvah with the hiddah. That's why he can be chosen even for the season shema after his tamila. Yes.
So then on Shabbos, what's the problem with coming back?
Because you can't go back for hidden mitzvah. Hidden mitzvah is not docha Shabbos by itself. If you docha Shabbos for the gufa mitzvah, then you can be docha for the hidden. No one's debating that tzitzin shema akhen asamila are only a hidden of the mitzvah mila. But the question is there a point in doing the hidden mitzvah if you finish the gufa mitzvah? So according to the Beis Halevi, there is no point. So you have to assume that the gufa mitzvah is still being fulfilled. Apparently, even though the gufa mitzvah is being fulfilled, as long as he's a nimol, that's not enough to say that you'll be docha Shabbos for the hidden mitzvah. You're not doing something active.
You can always go back after Shabbos.
Go back after Shabbos, exactly. Right. That's also true, right? You can go back after Shabbos to fulfill the hidden mitzvah. There's no need to do it on Shabbos. Right. But you're not doing anything active. So as long as you're not doing anything active to be docha Shabbos for the gufa mitzvah, then there's no heter to be docha Shabbos actively by doing the hidden mitzvah. This Yisod of the Beis Halevi to answer a number of different issues. The Beis Halevi himself tries to answer a very, very important question. And that is this Rama in Hilchas Mila that shocked the world, that generated a whole discussion in the Achronim as to how to understand the steer in the Rama from one line to the next, Mash. What Rama? Who Rama? What's the Beis Halevi doing now? So if you have the second packet, please look along with me. The Rama in source 1, here in packet 2, in Hidden Mitzvah, the Nechanaka B'Sham Mitzvahs. Rama says, Over a mobile laila tzarech lachzor ulahatif in yimenu dambis. Let's say someone is mobile laila. Cuts the arla off the laila. We know that laila is lavzman mila. That even mila shalob bismana has to be bayom. Let's say a person couldn't do the bris mila bismana. For some reason, the baby wasn't well, so they couldn't do it bayom hashmini. So, okay, you can't do the mila if the baby can't take it. It's a sakon, we have to do the mila. So you do the mila later on the ninth day, the tenth day, etc. That's mila shelo bezmana. So maybe you should do it at night. No, even mila shelo bezmana has to be bayom. Let's say a person was over umal balayla. He did a bris mila balayla. He did it, but still, he did it in an incorrect fashion. So says the Rama, you need what's called hatafas dam bris. Hatafas dam bris. You can't cut the arlo off twice. If it's not there, it's not there. But you take a little blood from the makom hamila, and that's called hatafas dam bris. It's something. It's not the full mitzvah mila, but there's something that you accomplish with the hatavas dambris. So says the Rama, when do I do hatavas dambris? So the classical example that's given is, let's say the baby is nolad mohol, very strange situation. Let's say he's nolad without an arla. So if he's nolad mohol, we can't take the arla off, but we still do hatavas dambris because we want to accomplish something. Hatavas dambris is like a mini bris, right? It's a partial bris. You're not cutting anything off, but you're taking dam from the makom hamila. That's also viewed as like a chatzi kiyum mila. So it's a mitzvah. It's a din. It's learned out of psukim. So says Rama, similarly, just like by nolad mohol, you have to be matif dam bris. So to mo balayla, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, but you need a hatavas dam bris. But says Rama, molo toches bayom yotza. But let's say they did a bris mila betoch ches. It wasn't by Yom HaShmini, it was before Yom HaShmini. So they didn't really do what they were supposed to do there either. Tez Rama, in that case, they were Yotze, they don't do Atavas Dambris. They did it by Yom. It was by Yom, but it was Toch Shmona. Tez Rama, if they did it by Yom, but Toch Shmona, then they don't do another Atavas Dambris. It's over. But if they were Mol Balayla, even not Toch Shmona, even after the 8th day, 9th day, 10th day, whatever, if they were Mol Balayla, then they have to do Atavas Dambris. So all the Achronim jump on the Rama and say, Ma'ish no zemizeh. He didn't do the right thing in either place. In either case, he didn't do the right thing. Balayla? You're not supposed to be mal balayla. Bayom HaShmini. Toch Shmona? It's not Bayom HaShmini. You didn't do the right thing. So why by one do you have to be Mativ Dambris? And why by the other do you not need Atav Dambris? The Pella. Reb Chaim, in his stencils on Shas, wants to suggest the following, that according to the Rama, in neither case, whether you're mol balayla or you're mol toch shmona, the mitzvah of mila you have not been yotzei and you'll never be yotzei, because you did it in the wrong way. The cutting off of the arla, the basic mitzvah of mila, you can't do again. You aren't yotzei that it was. But the question is, do you need to do hatavas dambris? Dr. Chaim, hatavas dambris is a separate mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah. But the halacha is, the Gemara in Shabbos says that Hatavas Dambris is not Docha Shabbos. Hatavas Dambris is not Docha Shabbos. That's halacha number one. Hatavas Dambris is not Docha Shabbos. And we know that the only Mila that's Docha Shabbos is a Mila of Yom HaShmini. Let's say the baby was sick. The baby was sick, Chalila. And then the baby gets better. And it turns out that the ninth day is Shabbos. They were supposed to be Mal the baby on Friday. But the baby was sick, and now the baby is better. The doctor says you can give the bris milah to the baby, so we push it off to Sunday. We don't do the bris milah on Shabbos. Because only a milah bizmana, a milah of Yom HaShmini, is Docha Shabbos. Okay, these are two dinim in Hilchos Milah. First of all, Hatavas Dambris is not Docha Shabbos. And secondly, the only milah that's Docha Shabbos is a milah of Yom HaShmini. Zokhtar B'chaim, put two and two together. If the only bris milah that's Docha Shabbos is a milah of Yom HaShmini, and Hatavas Dambris is not Docha Shabbos, what does that imply? Sort of implies that Hatavas Dambris doesn't require Yom HaShmini. That's quite an interesting extrapolation Reb Chaim makes. That's not really the law of transitivity. Now, because you could have said that Hatavas Dambris requires Yom HaShmini, but for some reason it's not Docha Shabbos. Right? Mila by Yom HaShmini, that's the full mitzvah, so that's Docha Shabbos. Hatavas Dambris is not the mitzvah of Mila, it's not Docha Shabbos. Reb Chaim says no. If the only Mila that's Docha Shabbos is a Mila by Yom HaShmini, and Hatavas Dambris, and Hatavas Dambris is not Docha Shabbos, thus meant that Hatavas Dambris doesn't need Yom HaShmini. So he says that's Pshat in the Ramah. Ramah says if they did a Mila besoch Shmona, they weren't Yotzeh the Mitzvah of Mila. But the Mitzvah of Hatavas Dambris, they were Yotzeh, because Hatavas Dambris never requires Yom HaShmini. But if he did the Bris Mila Balayla, then they weren't Yotzeh anything. They weren't Yotzeh the Mitzvah of Mila, and they weren't Yotzeh Hatavas Dambris either, because Hatavas Dambris has to be done by Yom. That's why the Ramah says that you need a Hatavas Dambris. That's Pshat in the Ramah. That there's no question the mitzvah of Mila hasn't been fulfilled in either case, whether you did the Bris Mila B'Soch Shmona, or you did the Bris Mila B'Laila, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Mila. The question is, did you fulfill Hatavas Dambris with the Hatofa that you did, by producing blood, either Toch Shmona or B'Laila? So to that, Reb Chaim says this, it's Choluk. Hatavas Dambris does not require Yom HaShmini. So if you did the Bris Mila B'Soch Shmona, even though you weren't Yotzei Bris Mila, you were Yotzei Hatavas Dambris. But if you did the Bris Mila B'Laila, it's completely possible you weren't Yotzei Mila nor Hatavas Dambris, and that's why you're going to have to do Hatavas Dambris again. Very interesting idea Reb Chaim suggests. The Shagisarye in Simon Nun Gimel offers a different approach to the Ramah. Shagisarye says maybe if you were Mal Toch Shmona, you were Yotzei Mitzvah Mila. You're Yotzei Mitzvah Mila. Balayla, you weren't Yotzei Mitzvah Mila. That's a Mila B'Psul. Because a Mila can never be Balayla. Can never be Balayla. But Mila Toch Shmona, Zokhtar Shagisarye, maybe you're talking, you were Yotzei Mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah l'chatchila, you didn't do it in the right way. Of course, the mitzvah Mila in the right way has to be B'Yom HaShmini. But B'Dieved, maybe it is viewed as a mitzvah Mila. How so? But if it's M'chusa Zman, it's before the time for this individual, for this baby. So how can you do a bris mila besoch hazman and it's called a kima, the mitzvah mila? Not a tovah dambris, a kima, the mitzvah mila mamish. So he says, well, this man, it is mechus zman for this baby, but this man is royal mila for someone else. If another baby were born a day before, so then it would be yom hashmini for him. It's not like this zman is possible for the mitzvah. It's not like it can't be used for the mitzvah. You know, Balayla is not a zman for tefillin, let's say, right? It's not a zman for tzitzit. I mean, Balayla, you can't do the mitzvah of tzitzit. You know, it's supposed to, you can't do the mitzvah of mila. Right? You can't do the mitzvah of tefillin, let's say. So it's a zman that's not roi for the mitzvah b'chlal. But Toshmon is roi for the mitzvah mila. For someone else, not for this baby. Dr. Shagisai, if it's roi for someone else, then b'diyavid, maybe it's a zman of mila for this baby too. That's quite a jump. That's a very big jump. Now, because it's roi for mila for safiyanim, so now b'diavad it's viewed as a zman of mila for this baby. That's the Shagasai's chiddush to explain the Ramah. That's why the Ramah says you don't need hatavas dambris if you were mol toch shmona because you were yotzei mila. You were yotzei the mitzvah mila. I by yom hashmini, it has to be on the eighth day. That's lechatchila for this baby. But since toch shmona is still roi the mitzvah mila for someone else, b'diavad even for this baby you can be yotzei the mitzvah mila if you do the mila b'soch shmona. But balayla is a zman that's possible. It's possible for this baby, it's possible for every other person. Because it's not as man, it's Roy Lamila, can't be also the mitzvah Mila then. So that's why the Ramah says, if you're Mal Balayla, you need Hatavas Dambris. Wow, Reb Chaim and the Shagasai, they have Chidushim, Agabe Chidushim, to try to explain the Ramah. Really, it's a big Chidush. Right? Reb Chaim's chiddush is that he assumes that other than brisa is kosher b'sof shmona. The Shagasai's chiddush is that he assumes that b'dieved toch shmona is a zman that's roy l'mila for this baby. Even though for this baby it's toch shmona. No, but since it's roy for mila, for someone, so it's a b'dieved, it's viewed as a zman of mila for this baby. Comes the Beis Halevi and says, I don't see what the problem is. I can give you a simple answer, a third answer. And he says that I think this is the simplest answer. The Taka, the Ramo agrees that when you did the mila b'sof shmona, you were not yotze b'sof mila. You were? You were not yotze b'sof mila. And maybe you weren't yotze the mitzvah of Hatavas Davris either. You weren't yotze anything. But what happens? The Yom HaShmini comes. And says the Beis Halevi, when the Yom HaShmini comes, then you were yotze the mitzvah mila. Because the mitzvah mila is not in the Maisa Chaticha, it's not in the act. It's in the totso, it's in the result. The fact that the baby is gemalt, the fact that he's a nimel. The shame nimel has been chal. When is the shame nimel chal? It's chal by Yom HaShmini. So if you do a maisa mila beforehand, because it's a zman haro'i l'mila for someone else, not that you've been yotze the mitzvah, not like the shagasai. You haven't been yotze the mitzvah. But because it's a zman that's roi for mila, the mila is not the psula. You haven't been yotze the mitzvah, but the mila is not a mila psula. So the shame nimol can be chal on the baby by Yom HaShmini. And that's what happens. Even though you weren't yotze the mitzvah mila beforehand, but the shame nimol can be chal because the mila was not done by psula. Masha'in kain, if you do a bris mila balayla, since bris mila balayla is a mila psula, it's not as mandatory for mila for anyone, not for this baby, not for anyone else. So then the mila was bipsul, so then you can't have a shame nimo that's going to be chal bayom based on the mila that you did balayla. Because if you do a mila bipsul, there can't be a shame nimo that's chal based on that maisa, because it was a maisa bipsul. So he's not a nimo. If the mila were done bekashrus, it's just you weren't yotze the mitzvah, but the mila, the maisa mila was done bekashrus. What determines whether it's done b'kashrus? If the zman is roi for mila for someone else, so then the shame nimo can be chal later. That's what happens by Yom HaShmini. The shame nimo can be chal, but balayla you can't have a shame nimo chal later when it's bayom, when the zman mila comes, because balayla is not a zman that's roi for mila for anyone, not for this person, not for anyone else. So that's why the Rambam says you need a hatavas damris if you use mal balayla. Okay, so the Beis Halevi uses his yesod. But the mitzvah of mila is continues to be fulfilled as long as the baby is living, as long as he's an imo. He uses that to try to explain the Ramah, this theory of the Ramah. The chiluk is that you can have a shem nimo chal based on a mila ksheira, even if it wasn't done bizman. If it's a mila ksheira, then you can have a shem nimo chal. But if the mila was done bipsul, then you can't have a shem nimo chal later. Shalom.
How does this approach to the child is born with a mila?
No lad mohol?
Yeah.
If he's no lad mohol, then you can't. He doesn't have a shame nimel unless you do something. So you would need a hatavas dambris to create the shame nimel. You got to do something to create the shame nimel. So hatavas dambris is a quasi bris mila. So for someone who's not going to get a real maisa bris mila, you have to do hatavas dambris in order for him to. In order to shaft the shame nimel, if you will. Got it? This sheet of the Beis Halevi that the mitzvah of mila is fulfilled not just through the Maisa Chaticha but through the Chalosh Shem Nimo and the continued Chalosh Shem Nimo is known as the sheet of the Maharach Or Zeruah, Rabbeinu Chaim Or Zeruah, the son of the Or Zeruah. What's the Maharach Or Zeruah going on? So the discussion that he's touching on is the chiyuv of a father to give a bris mila to his son. Now, this is a good bris shtikl Torah. And if it's Hashem, you have a child, you can say this shtikl Torah as your. You say the pshatel at your son's grace. So this is the pshatel that's often said. I'm saying, yeah, this is what people like to talk about because it's relevant to the father, to the bris mila. It's a beautiful idea. The Gemara Kedushin on Daf Chavtes discusses the different mitzvahs that a father has to do to his son, and one of them is mila, lamulam. That's the very first mitzvah in the Brais. The Gemara. Gemara points out there really are three different levels of chiyuv when it comes to bris mila. There were some of you who were in the Shir and Kiddushin, right? We did this in June. Right? We did this in June, a couple of Junes ago, right? Oh, good. What is the Gemara saying? The Gemara that Chavtes in Kiddushin. L'mulo menolam, d'chsiv ayom al-avram es yitzhak beno. How do you know the father has a chiyuv to give a bris mila to his son? Avraham Avinu gave Yitzchak a bris mila. How do you know that if the father doesn't give the bris mila, then Bezdin, then Kol Yisrael, or Bezdin as a representative of Klal Yisrael has to give a bris milah to the baby. Himalachem kol zachar is a general lashon, not on the father. Himalachem, that means that Kol Yisrael has to make sure that this baby gets a bris milah. And finally, the Gemara says, "Ve'echad l'malei beidina mechayiv ihu l'mimol nafshi d'chsev ve'arul zochar shelo yimol es besar or lasso v'nechrisim." Pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha says, "If someone doesn't give a bris milah to himself, then he gets karis." So who's the pasuk talking about? The person himself has to give a bris milah to himself. It means that he has to ensure that he gets the bris milah. So if no one gives him the bris milah, and he becomes a gadol, he has to give a bris milah to himself to ensure that he gets the bris milah. So there are three levels of chiyuv. The father is the basic level. Kol Yisrael is the next level, and then the person himself. So the question is: let's say a father doesn't know how to do a bris milah. He's not an expert. He's not a pediatrician. He can't do a circumcision. Well, even if he is a pediatrician, it might be a good idea for him not to do the bris of his own son, because he might feel, you know, a little anxious, a little overcome with emotions, and he might, maybe, even if he is a moel, it might be a good idea for him not to do the bris milah of his own son. So the question is, what does he do? So obviously, if he doesn't know how to do the bris milah, or if for some reason he thinks it's not a good idea for him to do the bris milah, so he's mechabed someone else to do the bris. He gets a moel to do the bris. So now the question is, whose mitzvah is the moel fulfilling? Is the moel fulfilling his own mitzvah? The mitzvah as a part of Klal Yisrael, the second level? The father is giving up his mitzvah. He relinquishes his mitzvah because he can't do his mitzvah. So then the second level kicks into the moel, and he's yotzi his own mitzvah. Now do we say no? The moel is motzi the father in his mitzvah. How the moel is motzi the father's mitzvah? How does that work? Based on what principle? Yes. Shlucha shladim kemos shlichas. Shlichas. Are you familiar with the idea of shlichas? Shlucha shladim kemos. A person can make a shliach to be mekadosh an isha, to be megarish an isha, megarish his wife. Gemara in Kedushin in the second part talks about shlichos for shchitas hakarban, but the kohenim are shluchim of the bailim to shech the carbon for them. Shlichos, shluchos shalom kamosa. So efshe, maybe the moel is the shliach of the father, and the father's really yotze the mitzvah. The father doesn't have to do the bris himself. He can appoint the shliach, he can appoint the moel, and the moel as a shliach of the father is helping the father in making his mitzvah. Which one is it? Is the father yotze his own mitzvah, or is the moel being yotze his mitzvah? The father is giving up his mitzvah, and the moel is being yotzi his own mitzvah. What's the nafkamina? I mean, either way, the mitzvah is fulfilled. Does it really matter? The nafkamina is, let's say the father really can do the bris milah. He can do the bris milah. He's done the bris milah for the first three of his sons, and there was no problem. He doesn't feel any anxiety. And Baruch Hashem, the bris milah is fine. So he comes to his fourth son, and he has a big Talmud Chacham that's coming to the bris. So he figures, let me be mechabed. Is he allowed to be mechabed, that individual? Is he allowed, the father allowed to be mechabed someone else to do the bris milah of his son if he's perfectly capable of doing it himself? So if you hold that the other individual is motzi the father in his mitzvah through shlichos, so then it doesn't really matter. Even if the other individual does the bris milah, then the father can be yotzei just as well as if he did the bris milah himself. Maybe to some extent we would say that mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho, better than to do it himself, but in extenuating circumstances he feels a bekoved, a gadol comes, he wants to be mechabed him to do the bris. So efshe, maybe we can say that it's permissible for the father to be mechabed someone else. Because the father's yotzi is mitzvah anyway, to the shlichus of the other individual. But if you say that when the moel does the bris, he's not a shlich of the father, but rather his yotzi is own mitzvah, so then it might be usur for the father to give it to someone else. He's losing the mitzvah, he's mafsid his mitzvah, he's mevatel a mitzvah that way. The moel is going to be mekayim a second mitzvah, a different mitzvah, level two. He's not helping the father fulfill his mitzvahs av al aben. So if the father can't fulfill his mitzvah through the shlichus of the moel, then presumably the father would not be able to give the kibbutz to someone else if he's able to do the bris milah by himself. So who discusses this issue? This is a discussion in the poskim. The Darkei Moshe, source 3. The Darkei Moshe says, Kosav Be'orzerua, the father. Right? Kosav Be'orzerua, Ha'av Mo'el, Osu Litein Le'mo'el Achem. The Orzerua says that if the father's a Mo'el, he's not allowed to give to someone else to do the bris milah. But Sarach Ian, Frak the Darkei Moshe, Ma'ishno mi mitzvah acheres, the Yochel Asa Shliach, Ve'komo. Frak the Darkei Moshe, what are you talking about? Shluch HaShalom Kemosa, didn't you learn the second paragraph of Kedushin? You know Shluch HaShalom Kemosa. So why can't the father appoint a Shliach to do the bris for him? He'll be Yotze based on the Shlichus of the Mo'el. So clearly the Rambam is assuming that there is a concept of shlichus by Mila. There's a concept of shlichus by Mila, just like by in Kol HaTorah Kula, by Mila as well. So as a Ruah, apparently is disagreeing. The Rambam claims there's a concept of shlichus by Mila, and in fact that's what we're machmer for. We're machmer to assume that maybe there is a concept of shlichus, so when a father doesn't do the bris Mila, he tells the Moel will sometimes ask the father, make me a shliach, could you make me a shliach? So the father says, you know, he like shakes his head. So the Moel looks at him and says, no, say it. I make you a shliach. But he wants him to say it, befer, that he's actually appointing him as a shliach. So the makor for that is the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber has there. Source 2. Avia ben Omed ala Moel lohodil shu shlucho. This is in Yoredeian Simen Reish Samach Hei Siftes. In Hilchos Mila. That the Avia ben is supposed to stand by the Moel to tell him that he's a shliach. He's supposed to notify him and appoint him as a shliach. The Mechaber is assuming like the Ramah, that there is a concept of shlichus by bris mila. So the father can't do the bris mila himself. He appoints the moil, he gets the moil, and he appoints him as a shliach, and hopefully he'll be able to be yotzei his mitzvah through the shlichus of the moil. The Arzaru apparently disagrees, and he says there is no concept of shlichus by mila. No concept of shlichus by mila? Why not? There's a whole discussion in Yachonim about that. It's complicated. Right? The simple answer is that somehow maybe there's no shlichus by mitzvah shebegufa. A mitzvah is something that relates to you. It's not like a chalos. Kiddushin and gerushin, that's a chalos. You're trying to effect some kind of status change in the woman. So it's not a mitzvah shebegufa. You don't have to be mekadesh the isha. It's just money has to come from you to her. There has to be a transfer of some sort, right? A transfer of value, a transfer of a shtar. Right? Gerushin, there has to be an asina, a shtar, from one person to the other. So maybe the shliach, since you can do the maisa, you can create the chalos through the shlichus. But mitzvahs are not a chalos. It's all about the maisa shebegufa. So efshir, someone has suggested that maybe what the Arz Aruah holds is that there is no shlichus by mila, because he says by mitzvah shebegufa there's no such concept of shlichus. There's a lashon like that in the Tosfos written in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Gimel on the base. That's what someone is saying. But what's going on over here? What's the machlokus? The Arz Aruah says clearly, implies clearly, that there's no shlichus by mila, and that's why the father cannot appoint the moel. If he knows how to do it himself, he's got to do it himself. And the Dake Moshe, the Mechaber, would say there is shlichus by mila, so therefore maishna zemizem, the moel can do it just as well as the father. If the moel does it, then the father is going to be yotze his chiyah through the maisa mila that the moel does. Yes?
If we say that the mitzvah is not the chaticha, but it's just the fact that the child is going to be nimo. So
I'm getting there. I'm about to get there. The marach or zeruah, I can disagree with the tata for a different reason. The arzeruah says the reason why the father cannot be mechabed the moil is because there's no such thing as a shlichus by mila. So comes the dark emotion and says, what's he talking about? There is shlichus by mila. Marach Arzeruah says, even if there is no shlichus by mila, even if the tata is right that there's no shlichus by mila, the father could still appoint the moel to do the bris. But why? How can he appoint the father to do the bris? If there's no shlichus by mila, then the father is going to give up his mitzvah. He's not going to be yoytz to the mitzvah because the maisa chaticha is going to be done by someone else. What's the answer? Maybe the mitzvah bris mila is not fulfilled through the maisa chaticha. It's through the fact that the baby is an emo. So if the father ensures that the baby is an emo because he went and got a moel, so he's involved in the process of making the son into a nimo. He was osek, but sarche mila, to ensure that the son becomes a nimo. He was yotze, is chiyuv. He doesn't have to do the maisa chaticha. But that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to make the baby into a nimo, and to do what you can to accomplish that fact. This is on page 5. Rachar Zeruah writes, Ela kol hani ikka mitzvos an eno ha'asiyah. Ela shehamila chasuma bivsara. The mila is chasuma bivsara. That's the mitzvah. The mila is chasuma bivsara. The lashon of the Beis Halevi in the Tshuva is, how do I know that the mitzvah of mila is that the baby should be gemalt? He says it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'hoi sabrisi bivsarchem livris olam. V'hoi sabrisi bivsarchem. The fact that the bris is Bivsara, chasuma bivsara. The fact that the baby is gemalt, that is the mitzvah. He compares to tefillin, he compares to tzitzis, but that's his yisod. And later, a little bit before the end of the bracket, Elamila he mitzvah b'chol eis ketfilin hamonocha b'roshah v'tzitzis b'vigdom. Mila is not just the maisa, he says. Mila is the status, the totsah, the fact that the baby is gemal, the fact that the mila is chasun v'tzara. So that's why the father can be mekayim the mitzvah, even if he doesn't do the maisa chaticha. Even if we say that there is no shlichus by mila, it still doesn't matter. The father can be mekayim his chiv, because his chiv is not to do the maisa mila. His chiv is to ensure that the baby is gemal. The baby is an imam. So as long as he gets the mark through the bris, then he is fulfilling his mitzvah. Yeah.
Are we assuming that the mitzvah is on the Av in the first place, as opposed to?
There's the Yitzchak Ben There is some mitzvah on the father.
So then what happens? Let's say comes a gadol and he's not
anymore. No, so if the father didn't do the bris mila, then he didn't fulfill his mitzvah. But he, you know, there could be different reasons. If the father's nifter, let's say, before he's able to do the bris mila, then the father doing the mitzvah. So when the son becomes a gadol, he does his own mitzvah. And before he becomes a gadol, then everyone is mechuyev to ensure that the child gets a bris. What's the raya that the mitzvah of mila is a totsah? It's the fact that he's gemal from the maisa. So the raya is from the gemal menachas. Arachor Zeruah says that the Gemara tells a story that David HaMelech went into the Beis HaMerchatz once. B'sho shenichnas David le-Beis HaMerchatz v'ro atzmo omid orim. Omar oili she'emod orim b'lo mitzvah. When David HaMelech went into the Beis HaMerchatz, he was all upset because he got undressed and he didn't have a mitzvah. He says, oili, I'm now without mitzvahs. Once David HaMelech realized, look, I have a bris mila, nisyash v'daita, that he's not arim in a mitzvah. So frektem arachar zeruah, what's David HaMelech so happy for? If you hold the mitzvah of mila is a maisa chaticha, so he's not fulfilling a mitzvah now. His father fulfilled the mitzvah many years before. He's not fulfilling any mitzvah now, so he's still arim in a mitzvah because he's not doing any mitzvahs now. Obviously, what David HaMelech was assuming is that the mitzvah mila is not in the maisa, but rather the fact that the person is gemal, the fact that he has a status as an emo. Every moment that he's an emo, he's fulfilling the mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara means when he remembered the mila b'vsaro and the siyashu d'ayda, because he says, I'm fulfilling mitzvahs even now. Because as long as he's an emo, he's fulfilling the mitzvah. Yes.
Is the fact that he has a mila now, or that anyone has a mila now, a mitzvah, like that's...
It's a mitzvah kiyumis.
For that person, or is it still for their father?
Could be for both. Right? I mean, the father did the mitzvah, the father did the bris mila on the person, or arranged for him to do the bris mila, so then there's that kiyum. He created that kiyum? Created that kiyum.
Isn't that the father has an obligation now to make sure that the ben is able to be mekayem that mitzvah?
The ben is able, so you're saying something new. You're saying, once you claim that the mitzvah is to be nimo, so the mitzvah on the father is to ensure that the ben is going to be mekayem his mitzvah. When he becomes a gadol, he's a nimo, he's going to be mekayem his
mitzvah.
No, now you're saying already another vart. That's fancy. Right. They talk about that. Is the chiv on the father a chiv for him to enable the son to fulfill his mitzvah? Maybe the fact that there's a maisa chaticha is done to the gufa ben, maybe taka the ben is fulfilling his mitzvah?
Okay.
But you could say that even without claiming that the mitzvah mila is to make the shame nimo. Right, to make him into an emo. You could say that the fact that the mila is being done in the gufa ben, that by itself...
But it's stronger if we say it this way.
It's even stronger. Okay, it's stronger. Right. Right here. Ami.
Would you have to say that maisa is still partially important? Because otherwise, why do you have to do that? How does the ham have to do it balayla?
That's because if you do it balayla, then the shame nimo wasn't chal, because it was a mila bipsul. The maisa is only necessary. Of course, the maisa, it seems like it's almost the maisa is a hechsher. I don't know if I would say the maisa hechsher. I guess if you're a purist and you say the mitzvah is really to be a nimo, then the maisa is just a hechsher to create the shame nimo. That's what it sounds like. Wild. Wow. So based on this idea, there are some achronim that want to take it one step further. One final point. If you said that the mitzvah of bismillah is not the maisa chaticha, but rather to create the shame nimo, to create the status, so that can explain first of all, why the Rama says Nimel Toch Shmona doesn't need Hatavas Dambir is because you can fulfill the mitzvah of Mila passively, B'Shevi Al Taseh, when Yom HaShmini comes. And that can explain why the father is allowed to be mechabed someone else to do the bris, even if he claims there's no shlichas of mila, because the father is fulfilling his mitzvah by arranging that the son becomes a nimel. And that can also explain a difficult sheet of the Raavad. We know that mila is unique from other mitzvahs. By most mitzvahs, if a person doesn't do the mitzvah, he's mevatel mitzvah say. What's the punishment for being mevatel mitzvah say? There's no active punishment, no punishment that they really give him. Bittul asay. The bittul asay. He's not chayev, you know, any onesh bidei shamayim for it. But he didn't do the right thing. Obviously, he needs to do tshuva. There's no chayev kares for that. Mila is an exception to the rule. Mila is one of two mitzvahs where if a person doesn't do the mitzvah, he's chayev kares. What's the other one? Anyone know? Mila and Karban Pesach, Yosef. Good. Karban Pesach and Mila. These are the two mitzvahs I say that if someone is mevatel the mitzvah, he's chayev kares. Right, by mitzvahs, I also say there are many mitzvahs where there's chayev kares for. Right, Shabbos, chayla v'dama, whatever. There are different isurim that you can do that you're chayev kares. By mitzvahs, it just doesn't exist. You're mevatel a mitzvah, you're not chayev kares, except mila karban pesach. So the question is, when are you chayev kares for these mitzvahs? So by karban pesach, it's poshut. You have a window of opportunity to shach the karban pesach. Erev Pesach, if the Chatzos, you got to show up the Karban Pesach. If you don't bring the Karban Pesach, then B'mezid, if you were Nenas, then you have another opportunity, Pesach Sheni. But if B'mezid, you didn't bring the Karban Pesach, then so then you mevatel the mitzvah and you have karis for that. How about Mila? What's it then? When's there a chayav karis? Who's chayav karis? What, the father doesn't give a bris mila to his son? He's chayav karis? No. Father doesn't do the right thing if he doesn't give the bris mila to his son. But he's not chayav karis. It's only the person himself. Right? The term v'nichrisa that the Torah uses to describe the chiyav karis for someone who doesn't give a bris mila, that's for the orel zachar, the one who's the orel himself. So when is he chiyav karis? Here's the Rambam. Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. So the Rambam Hilchos Mila Perek Aleph Halacha Beis writes like this: Kishiyigdal hu chayv lamo lasatzmo v'chol yom v'yom shiyavar olav mishiyigdal v'lo yima lasatzmo harei mevatel mitzvah saseh. Every day that a person doesn't give himself the bris mila, he's mevatel mitzvah saseh. Aval eino chayv kares at shiyomus v'hu orel b'mezid. When's the chayv kares kick in? Says the Rambam, after the guy dies. Very modern concept. He's chayv kares after he dies, but he's dead. It means that after he dies, we attribute the death to the kares because. To the Chi of Kares, because he's Chi of Kares once he can't fulfill the mitzvah of Mila. Somehow, something of what the Rambam is saying. It's a very strange lashon. It's Chi of Kares, l'cheshayomus. So comes the Raavad and disagrees with the Rambam. He says, of course you're Chi of Kares before Misa. How can you be Chi of Kares after? How can one be Chi of Kares after they die? Ein b'zeh tavlin, says the Raavad. B'chim yishum asroa, safek toldrin osom min hashamayim. He understands the reason why the Rambam claims you only chayav karis after Misa is because how can a person be chayav karis before? How can he chayav karis at this point in time? Maybe he'll do the bris mila the next day. The Nashamayim, they can't give him karis. It's just a hasra, a suffix, so to speak, right? Meaning it's a suffix. He might do the bris mila the next day. So how can he be chayav karis today? It's only at the moment that he dies, he's chayav karis because he's never going to be able to do it again. So, but he's dead. So it's still strange, right? But that's the Raavad's kasha. Well, because it's a suffix of poached or someone hashamayim. V'chol yom omei be'isr kares, says the Raavad. Just like the Rambam says, kol yom v'yom he's mevatel mitzvah say, kol yom v'yom he's chayev kares, says the Raavad. Somebody of Chana may ask, what's the Raavad talking about? Kol yom v'yom he's chayev kares? He's certainly mevatel mitzvah kol yom v'yom because every day he has the opportunity to do the mitzvah. Why should he be chayev kares each and every day? He should be chayev kares once. Right? If he waits, he doesn't do the bris mila, so he's mevatel mitzvah seis, he's chayv karis. Right? Mila is a one-time opportunity. You have a one-time opportunity to do it. It's like Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is a one-time opportunity every year. So if you don't fulfill the mitzvah and the opportunity that you have, so you're chayv karis for that. Same thing, mila. Mila, person has an obligation to do the bris mila, so he's chayv karis. He's chayv karis every day? No, he became bar mitzvah. He didn't do the bris milah. Right? And a certain amount of time passed. I don't know, a day. He's chayav kares for not doing the bris, for being without permits, I say. What kind of idea is chayav kares each and every day? 354 days a year. Every single year. 354. I mean, every single time it's chayav kares. Why? Milah is a one-time opportunity. You have to do the bris milah at some point in time. So if he doesn't do that, it's chayav kares. One chayav kares. What kind of an idea is this, that there are multiple chayav kares? If we assume that the mitzvah of bris milah is not the ma'aseh hadichah, but rather the fact that a person is a nimol, every single day that a person desists from doing the bris milah, he holds back from doing the bris, and he allows the shame orel that was chal on him when he was born, he allows that shame orel to continue, and he doesn't put the shame nimol upon himself, he's chayav kares. Because he's mevatel the mitzvah each and every moment, because he can be mekayim the mitzvah each and every moment. You can only be chayav kares if you mevatel a new mitzvah each and every moment. If it's the Zelba mitzvah, so it's the Zelba chiyav kares, it's the same kares, you can't have a new chiyav kares. But if every moment is an opportunity for another chiyav mitzvah, Efshinen Kenzogin, that he can be chiyav kares each and every moment, because every moment he's hakam avatel, a new mitzvah, a new opportunity to be a nimo. So maybe that's pshat in the Ravid, that every day is b'chiyav kares. In fact, some claim, according to the Ravid, it's not just every day, it's kol rega v'rega, they call yom. The Ravid didn't use that, such a lashon, but that's what he meant. Every moment he's chayav kares, so to speak. Because every moment he has the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah by being nimo. Yes, Shalom.
Is it possible to say, it's not that the rabbit or the time the Rambam is that every, he says every moment, if he's mo, every day he's fulfilling a mitzvah. He's not the opposite. He's saying specifically if you don't do it, you're a chayav every single day. But there's a distinct difference between fulfilling the obligation of milah and actually doing it and not doing it. So I cannot actively fulfill the mitzvah at night, only during the day. But if I'm already mo, I fulfill my keep at night, and after that I'm all. So could be the rabbi is saying actually the exact opposite. Every morning, you couldn't do it 5 minutes ago. You couldn't get your breast up. Now that you're this is daytime, now you become a new thing because you couldn't do it. But to say that the mitzvah is constantly may not be true. Because you're just...
But you still have an opportunity each and every day to be a nimo. Oh. So every morning that you're not a nimo, you are mevatel the mitzvah.
But it's only separate, potentially, it's only a separate... Of Kares, because you couldn't do it 5 minutes ago.
So that could explain why the Ravid says kol yom v'yom and not kol rega v'rega. It's not every moment, it's only every day, because every day you couldn't have done it v'layla. But still, the Ravid is holding that the mitzvah of bris milah is to be a nimo, because if not, then how can one be chayav kares for every moment that he's not a nimo?
But wouldn't it be saying that the mitzvah is constant?
What's he saying? He's saying that. Ah, you're saying the mitzvah is really the ma'aseh milah, but you chayav kares every day because now there's a new day that you could do the bris milah and you're not doing it, and you're not doing the mitzvah, and you're not doing the ma'aseh.
Only because you have.
But it's still one. If you hold, if the Ravid holds that milah is the ma'aseh chaticha, right? It's still a one-time opportunity. So how can one be chayav kares multiple times for a ma'aseh? The same ma'aseh that they didn't do. It's still the same ma'aseh. So the chayav kares is for not doing that one ma'aseh. So how can he be chayav kares multiple times for not doing one ma'aseh? He's chayav multiple chayav kares for not bringing the carbon pesach. It's one carbon pesach. So you didn't do the one thing. So one's chayav kares once. It's only if you hold that the mitzvah bris milah is to be a nimol. So then you can entertain the possibility that maybe there are multiple chayav kares because there are multiple zman that you can fulfill that mitzvah. Yes.
If you say that it's every night, very rega, mm-hmm. So that if a person pushes off the bris until like after like an 8 o'clock meeting in the day, isn't that what multiple karis also?
No, but again, it's only the baby that's chayav karis, and he's only chayav karis when he becomes a gadol. So if you're doing a bris milah to an 8-day-old baby, there is no chayav karis to speak about. So that's why they say. I mean, I will admit part of the cheshbon that they have that maybe the bris should not be pushed off is because the father is being mevatel a mitzvah. Forget about a chayav kares. The father is not going to be chayav kares, but the father is being mevatel a mitzvah. That's what they say. You know, the rov amazus hadras melas zvizim makdimim lemitzvus. Which which value trumps the other? Right? It's a discussion of poskim. It's a big big machlokes. In different communities, they do different things. In some communities, they pack a push of the bris of the afternoon so people can come. In our communities here, that's not so nahum. But I think in Eretz Yisrael, the minig is actually to push of bris into the afternoon. It's like a pella. You come to bris in Eretz Yisrael, and you say to yourself, we would never do a bris in the afternoon. But they do. They do because they hold that the Berov Amhadris Melech trumps his reason. Making the mitzvahs, so they say that to have Rov Amhadris Melech for the mitzvah of Mila, it's still the same day. So since it's still the same day, they hold Rov Am 2000 Makdimin, better to have the bris in the afternoon. I think in America that's not the minhag. In America we try to have it as early as possible. I mean, sometimes they really have it early. I wish they would make it a little bit later. You know, davening is like at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like, okay, it's good. It's good. It's a good Musa Haskel. But we should always get up early. Yes.
So just to understand the regular point, so if a person becomes a gadol and he still doesn't have a bris, so ideally you should have to do it at needs that day?
Bo bayom. That's what he should do. He should do it as early as possible. If it is possible. If not, he should try to take care of it as soon as he can. According to the Ravid, every day that he doesn't take care of it, there's a chi of karis. Yes?
And once he does the meal, then there's no more chi of karis, or...
So according to the Ravid, if he does the mila, let's say on his 14th birthday, so he does have 354 chiyuvei karis on his head. Not so good. He's got to do tshuva for that. But he's not going to have any more chiyuvei karis. According to the Rambam, he won't have any chiyuvei karis on him.
The tshuva is in the mila itself.
No. It's a being mevatel the mitzvah mila beforehand. But according to the Rambam, there is no chiyuvei karis because the chiyuvei karis didn't kick in. Right? Yeah.
If the initial ma'isim mitzvah isn't the ikir mitzvah, and it just has to be a nimo, so why do we have to deal with hatafas dam as when he was born a nimo?
Because he doesn't have a shame nimo if he's nolad ma'al.
Why not?
Because what's a nimo? A nimo means something happened to the person. Nolad ma'al is not a nimo. It means he's born mohu, but that's not a nimo. A nimo means that they did a bris mila to you. So even if they did hatavas dam bris, which is quasi mila, but it's some type of mila, you can't become a nimo. You can't remove the shame orel unless a maisa has been done to you. Right? Unless you do a maisa to the individual. So the person might be nolad mohu, but a nolad mohu can be an orel. Yeah, because until you do a maisa to the individual, he might be nolad mohu. He doesn't have an orla, but he's not a nimo because no maisa has been done to him. Okay, this concludes our discussion of Hidden Mitzvah by Ner Chanukah and the connection to the Mitzvah of Mila. Now let's move on to the third aspect of the Hidden Mitzvah Sugya Sovi. Let's go back to Bava Kama. I know you've been missing it, so let's now talk about the concept of Hidden Mitzvah as it's presented in the Gemara Bava Kama, and we'll actually see that part of this Sugya does relate to Ner Chanukah as well. Let's pick it up with the Gemara and the Pesamid Aleph on the bottom. Stop the Gemara. Amar Rav Zeira. Amar Rav Huna. The Mitzvah Shlish. Rav Zeira says, B'Shem Rav Huna, the Mitzvah Ad Shlish. A mitzvah, you have to do Ad Shlish until a third. My Shlish, what does that mean? So, Ilem a Shlish Beiso. Elamayata, he is Rami Le Plus Mitzvah, so Leisa Bakule Besa. If Rav Zeira meant to say that the Mitzvah Shlish, that you have to spend a third of your money, Shlish Besa, a third of your possessions, Zabrashi Shechayev Adam Levaz Bez Mitzvah, Lula Votzitzis, Osevator Shlish Mashiyeshlo. So then if you have three mitzvahs that come your way, then that's it. Sell the house, sell the ranch. You got to give up all of your Nechasim, because third, you have to spend the third on the first one, the second third on the second one, and then the third, you have to spend on the mitzvah. It's over. Elam Rav Zeira behid the mitzvah shlish b'mitzvah. Zok the Gemara knows. Rav Zeira never meant to say b'mitzvah shlish means the mitzvah ad shlish b'gamav. You have to give a third of your nechassim for a mitzvah. No, he meant behid the mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. That for hid the mitzvah, to beautify a mitzvah, you have to spend ad shlish b'mitzvah. A third of the mitzvah. third of something. We'll have to figure out what that third is. We'll see. Okay, but this is the basic give and take of the sukkah. What the havamin is that maybe you should have to spend a third of your nechasim on a mitzvah. And the maskonis know that when it comes to evaluating what the mitzvah is, and that's what we were talking about, right? Mahadrim, mahadrim, mina mahadrim. Yeah, you always have to evaluate based on shlish b'mitzvah, a third of the mitzvah. So let's first talk about the havamin of the Gemara, then we'll talk about the maskon. We'll get to the maskon. To spend a third of the mitzvah for, third of the value of the mitzvah for the hiddur. What's the havamina? Havamina is that you'd have to give a third of your home, a third of your possessions for a mitzvah. Says Tosis, Mashma den tzarech levazbeis kol mamono liknos esrog afilu lo yimtza bepachos v'avi mitzvah veres afilu shlish beiso mashma delo mechayiv. From the Gemara it's clear that you don't have to give shlish beiso, you don't have to be mevazbeis your entire bank account to buy an esrog. Right? Sometimes it looks like you have to do that. Yes, the esrog is so expensive, right? But you don't have to do that. Right? You don't have to do that. V'amina nami, and the Gemara says in Ksubas and Afnun, ha'mevazbeis, al yevazbeis yosem echomesh. Gemara Ksubas says that you shouldn't spend more than a fifth of your nechasim for a mitzvah. U'besukah choshev le'rabusa de'Rabbi Gamliel shekona esrog be'elev zuz. Rabbi Gamliel bought an esrog very expensive. He was the Nasi. He was a very wealthy man. So he bought an esrog for 1,000 zuz. You can only imagine how much that was worth. Right? 1,000 zuz, wow. Okay. And then the Gemara describes, the Gemara Bava Metzi, another place describes that he gave it to the other Tanaim, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, and they gave it back to him, Matanam Nastahafse, right? The whole lumdus with the rush in the back. Right? There's a lot of lumdus in that story. That story generated a whole, it generated a week's worth of shiur. But Tosis says that it was Rabusa. He didn't have to spend $1,000. It's more than chomesh. Sounds like it was more than chomesh of his nechasim. Interesting. Okay, so someone is not mechuyev to do that. That's the maskon of Gemara, that you don't have to spend more than shlish beiso. Gemara in Ksuba says that you don't have to be mevaz beis more than chomesh. More than chomesh. Why not? Why not? Money? What is more important, money or a mitzvah? What, you're going to give value to a mitzvah? To say that more than chomesh, the mitzvah is not worth it? The mitzvah is not worth it? What? Dalid meaning? It's not worth more than a chomesh of a person's nechasim? Who cares how much nechasim he has? The mitzvah is priceless. What kind of a strange notion is this that the Gemara is giving a price to a mitzvah that you don't have to spend more than shlish beisa? In fact, the Gemara in Ksubas says it straight, that you don't have to spend more than chomesh nechasav. How could there be a price to a mitzvah? So it comes to Rashba, right here in Bava Kama. Right here. The Rashba quotes from the Ravid. Why is it that you don't have to spend more than chomesh nechasav for a mitzvah? V'zeh teima, heich nosnu domim l'mitzvah overis. How can you give domim? How can you give value? Up the Raiva, the problem is that we're afraid if you spend too much money, you're not spending all of your nechasim, you're spending only a fifth. Yeah, but the problem is you need the money for other things. You need it for food, and for your rent, and for the tuition, and for the chasanas that you're going to make, and for every other thing. So, you know, if you spend too much money, and then you're not going to have the money later, so then you'll be makbel atzma on the tzibur. Then the tzibur was going to have to support you. You'll become an ani. K'mosh amru, asei shabbat hachol va'al tetzarech labrios. The Gemara Pesachim says that a person should not spend too much money on Shabbos. Spend a lot. Spend a certain amount. But make your Shabbos into chol. Be mevatel a little bit of onik Shabbos. You don't need the caviar for Shabbos. Right? You shouldn't push yourself on the tzibur by spending too much money for Shabbos. Oni is like Misa. It's like another element. Oni is like Misa, so to give oneself Misa, to make oneself into an Oni, it's inappropriate to be matriach on the tzibur, to make oneself into an Oni. What does that mean? He's mapalatzma al tzibur, so that's a bad thing. Well, what's the idea? So simply put, you could say to be matriach acher, to be matriach the tzibur, to support you, that's inappropriate. Matriach Tziba. That's what the Ravid seems to be saying. Right? The other way to look at it is that if a person becomes an ani, so what's going to happen? He's matriach himself on the tzibah. Maybe the tzibah is not going to give him money for other mitzvahs, so he's going to do this one mitzvah, spend so much money on this one mitzvah, and as a result, he's not going to do other mitzvahs. He'll be mavato from a whole bunch of other mitzvahs. What's the value? What's the point? You know, the Gemara says one of the makaros that the pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, where machal Shabbos, if a person is a cholet, to save his life. One of the makaros in the Gemara in Yuma is chalal olav Shabbos achas kedesh yishmer Shabbos ashagur. Shem b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos, chalal olav Shabbos achas b'machalal one Shabbos. So that this individual is going to be shomer many Shabbosos. Right? There's a value over here. There is going to be a chil Shabbos over here. It's not going to be his chil Shabbos, it'll be yours. But if you're mechal Shabbos once, then he'll have the opportunity to be mekayim Shabbos many times. So you could say that that's the same idea over here. That if a person is going to become an ani because he's going to use too much money for the mitzvahs, so then he'll be mevatel from other mitzvahs. He wants an opportunity to do this mitzvah, so maybe he should spend more money now. Yeah, but it's not smart, right? In the scheme of things, he might do one mitzvah, but he'll be ma'abed in many other mitzvahs. So it's one of the two possibilities, that either just to be matriach oneself on the tzibur is inappropriate, or the pshat is that that he'll be misbatel from other mitzvahs. There's no value in doing this one mitzvah for so much money, because you'll lose the opportunity for many other mitzvahs. Aye, but maybe this mitzvah is worth more. We don't know. We don't know the value of the mitzvah. She'en ata yodeh matan tzchar en shem mitzvahs, right? You have to do a mitzvah kala kevachamura. We do all mitzvahs. We don't know exactly what the tzchar for the mitzvahs are. So we can't spend too much money on any mitzvah, because as a result, we'll be misvato from other mitzvahs. That's the Rashba. Comes the Rashba and adds another point. The Rabbit seems to say that oni is kemisa, that poverty is like death, so therefore a person shouldn't bring poverty upon himself. Mikomakom lo kemisa mamish, says the Rashba. Shlo omru ele b'mitzvah sasei b'shevi al tasa, al b'mitzvah lo sasei afilu kol mamona. This idea that hamavazbeiz, al yivazbeiz yosanei chomesh, that's only said by mitzvah asei. But by mitzvah lo sasei, you have to be willing to give up anything, not to violate the mitzvah. To give up anything. Okay, so the Rashba is saying two things. The first thing he says is that you can't be mevazbeis more than chomesh, because you'll come lidei oni. He'll be mapel atzma latzibur. According to that line of the Rashba, what should emerge is that even less than a shlish, you can't spend even less than a shlish. The Gemara talks about what you should spend a shlish. The mitzvah ad shlish. Sounds like you should spend up to a shlish, but not more than that. So the Gemara has trouble with that, but it sounds like from the Havanah of the Gemara you should spend up to a shlish. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, no, if the idea is that we're afraid that you'll become an ani if you spend shlish in the chasav, then even less than a shlish. Even less than a shlish. If there's a chashash that chayav yu duchukim, that he won't be able to support himself properly, so then even less than a shlish you're not supposed to spend. It's not just chomesh. The Gemara in Ksubas is saying chomesh because it's assuming that you'll be able to support yourself. But if you're going to come lidei oni, even if you spend, right, if you spend less than a chomesh, that's less than shlish hamitzvah. A person is so poor that even spending less than shlish hamitzvah is going to be more than chomesh nechasav, then he's not supposed to do that. He's no chiyuv to do it. He's not supposed to do it. It's not a function of shlish anymore. It's a function of chomesh. It's a function of how much he owns. That's point number one. That's the right, that one shouldn't spend more than chomesh because we're afraid that he'll be an adi, and then he'll have to throw himself on the tzibah. But then the Rashba has this other comment, that this whole din, that one is not allowed to spend more than chomesh, that's only by mitzvah asay. But by mitzvah lo asay, there is no kovel like that. He has to spend all of his money. He has to give up everything for mitzvah lo asay. But why? I thought we just said that no mitzvah has such a value. The Ravid said that if you're going to spend so much money for mitzvahs, you'll become an ani, you'll be mafal atzma latziba. That's not a good thing. So maishna mitzvahs hasef and mitzvahs lo hasef. What's going on over here? He says mitzvahs hasef is kemisa. Oni is kemisa, so therefore you don't spend more than chomesh for mitzvahs hasef. If a mitzvah is lo sa'aseh, you got to spend everything. I thought only as kamisa. It's not kamisa mamish. If it were kamisa mamish, then even if a mitzvah is lo sa'aseh, right? If only we're like misa mamish, so then even for mitzvah is lo sa'aseh, you wouldn't be able to spend the money. Pikuach nefesh is dofa kol haTorah kulo. So you wouldn't spend the money if it's kamisa mamish. It's not kamisa mamish. That's why for mitzvah is lo sa'aseh, you have to become poor. You have to give up all your money not to buy the mitzvah is lo sa'aseh. But why? Why should you have to do that? So there's a whole group of achrona that want to suggest, Chasim Sofer and his Avos and Shulchan Aruch and others want to suggest that the chiluk between Mosasei and Asei is what? Help me now. What? Passive activating, exactly. Shevi al Tasa or Kum Vasei. Shevi al Tasa Kum Vasei. Now they didn't invent that. Where did they get it from? Svara. I'll get a good Svara. Well, we're going to develop the Svara. But where did the Chasim Sofer get it from? I'll tell you where I think he got it from. He got it from the Rajba. What does the Rajba say? Shlo Amru Ela B'mitzvah Sei B'Shevi Al Tasa. B'mitzvah Lo Sasei Afilu Kol Mamono. What's the difference between Lo Sasei and Asei? So the Rajba doesn't say anything about the Lo Sasei. He doesn't say B'kum V'Asei. That the problem with the Lo Sasei is that since you're violating the law, B'kum V'Asei, so therefore you have to be willing to give up all of your money not to violate the law. But by mitzvah sasei, he tells you, he's nokiv b'shei, tells you exactly why mitzvah sasei is more kal. Shevi al tasa, it's passive. The bittul mitzvah is not b'kum v'asei, it's that you're holding back from doing the mitzvah. It's licked in the verta from the Rajba. It's not just a chiddush and chasim seifer. The Rajba says it. He says that's the chiluk. Chiluk is that mitzvah sasei is only shevi al tasa, so therefore, he could be mizbata from a mitzvah say, not to become an ani, not to have the misa of anius, that's permissible if all you're doing is shevi al tasa. If you do it become asay, then there's no heter, he says. Do it become asay, there's no heter, and you would have to give up all of your money. The Maariv Tzchius on Bava Kama echoes the sentiment of the Chasim Sofer. That the chiluk between mosay and asay is whether it's b'shevi al tasa or become asay. And based on that, he tries to answer a kasha. I am a sefer Moruk Tzia. Yankiv Emden. The sefer Moruk Tzia. He says, "The im kaimalon lula ve'ena osa makin achetesi nafsho in kain lo yehem amono chav alav yosem egufa." The Moruk Tzia asks the following kasha. The halach is if a person doesn't want to do a mitzvah say, so bezdin can be makin osa achetesi nafsho. Gemara in Ksubis, the end of Ksubis. They can beat him up achetesi nafsho to get him to do the mitzvah say. So frek the Moruk Tzia, they can beat him up. That means that they can kill him. So, what, his mammon is better than his guf? Your money or your life? Right? The life, we can take his life away, but he's not allowed to spend his money? Chara, if makana swacha teitzei nafsho, why shouldn't he have to give up all his money not to violate a mitzvah say? Sounds like an interesting kasha, right? If Bezdin can take the person's life away, makana swacha teitzei nafsho, to force him to listen, to do the mitzvah, so certainly we can take his money away, or he should be allowed to spend his money, not to buy the mitzvah say. So the Maariv Tzchius, ulam nela mimenu v'mchilas kfo tarasu divrei haramban parshas bo. He says, I think the Moruk Tzia forgot the Ramban in parshas bo. I'm not sure which Ramban in parshas bo he's referring to. I think it's the Ramban in parshas Yisro, as I gave you. What does Ramban say in parshas Yisro? The hach the makana chetezi nafsho hu davka ba'omer eini osa. Ramban says, when are we makin osa achetesi nafsho? That's b'mordin, the people rebelling, lahachesniks, who say, I'm not going to do the mitzvah. I'm not going to do the mitzvah, so then Bezdin can be makin osa achetesi nafsho. But if he's not a lahachesnik, then we can't kill him. We can't force him to do. If you're not a lahachesnik, you're not going to have to force him. He'll do the mitzvah willingly. When we're talking about that he can't spend all of his money on a mitzvah sasei, we're saying he's willing to do it. So there, we're not going to take the person's life. There's no need to take his life. The halacha is in such a case that he doesn't have to spend all of his money on the mitzvah sasei. only time we say makanas achatetze nasho, that's if he's maches, if he's morade, if he doesn't want to do the mitzvah, and he's standing strong. I'm not gonna do the mitzvah. Then makanas achatetze nasho. So you can't compare mamon to guf. It's totally different halachas. The kasha was that if makanas achatetze nasho, a person's mamon is not as chashuv as his guf. So if we can even kill the guy to do the mitzvah, so certainly we should be able to take his money away, or he should be able to spend his money in order to do a mitzvah. The answer is no. Makanas achatetze nasho. We're talking about a special case, but more than it's talking about people rebelling. Rebelling. So in that case, makanas achatetze nasho. But if he's not rebelling, he just wants to know, can I spend my money? Can I not spend my money? So there, when it comes to mitzvahs asay, we'll say that more than a chomish, he doesn't have to spend his money. There's no need to spend the money. Take a look at the Ramban. Look at it inside. He's trying to explain a number of different halachas there. Take a look at the Ramban and also look at the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that there's a chilik between los asays and mitzvahs asay in terms of shevi al tasa and kum vasay. Look at the nafkemina that the Chasam Sofer mentions. There could be nafkemina between these different approaches. Whether the chilik between los asay and asay is chumras hadover, based on what's more chamer, or it's based on whether you have to violate it become asay or only b'shevi al tasa. I just want to add